8 o'clock hour. Good morning, everybody. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne here as well. Pettycast, we do it. When do you do it? Do you do it every Tuesday? We do it at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Yeah, this is where we celebrate pettiness in all its forms, both from outside of this studio and within it. And this
was petty in here.
Yeah, this was something that was brewing. You got to really embrace your pettiness in this one. So Sean and I got excited at the end of last week because Bill Simmons had said some stuff about Kendrick Perkins and the NBA broadcast for the draft or whatever it might have been was awful, this, that, the other thing. Kendrick Perkins got personally offended by it and said he was gonna take on Bill Simmons on the weekend on the podcast he was on. So Sean and I were hopeful. Like, oh, Kendrick Perkins might have some really good stuff. It's a little bit of a letdown, but it did send me down a rabbit hole. This is Kendrick Perkins and one of the things that he brought up about Bill Simmons being a fraud.
And let's not act like you haven't said some asinine things about the game of basketball, especially when it comes down to the WNBA, saying that women should play pregnant. Man, have you lost your damn mind? Like, before you took a sip of that damn Heineken, did you actually let it process or thought about, before I go on this camera, let me think about this for a second. Am I really going to go tell the world, and I don't believe you was joking, that women should play pregnant?
That the last part is where I was like, oh man, I'm pretty sure, I don't remember this. This is like 15 years ago when Bill Simmons said this. And my immediate memory was, I think that was something that Simmons might have said on a podcast that was blown up out of proportion and looked way worse in the transcripts than what it was.
Yeah.
So you be the judge. That's Tell me whether or not Bill Simmons was joking about his take that WNBA players should play pregnant.
Who was the player who got pregnant last year?
Candace Parker? Yeah.
In my opinion, hey, maybe this is a little out there.
Oh boy.
I think if you're pregnant, you have to keep playing.
Okay.
No, seriously. What? That's not a reason to stop playing. That's not an injury.
I mean,
it's not like a pull. That's like not a torn ACL.
How long did she? She had another human being inside of her.
My wife was doing pregnant Pilates until she was like 8.5 months pregnant with our second kid. These people can't run up and down a little bit. They can't play 5 minutes a game. Can't waddle around. How is that a reason?
I guess. I mean, it's a.
It's the sigh at the end. I don't know. That wasn't Zach Lowe, I don't think. Whoever it was back then. Clearly he's joking. And his co-host made it more awkward because his co-host didn't know whether Bill was 100% serious or not.
Well, all right.
I feel like that was the I'm petty for Kendrick Perkins for not going after the jugular with some of his more. You can find anybody that's been talking on camera for decades. There will have been some way worse things than that. So I have to be petty towards Kendrick Perkins and being petty about something that probably was just like 100% a joke to some degree.
I'm keying off of Bill Simmons, producer or / co-host there, just a little bit, who was clearly like at a loss of words. And I'm keying off of him because I think there is a shred of seriousness from Bill Simmons here. I don't know that he's entirely joking. In fact, I think Bill Simmons believes that they should play pregnant up to like maybe month 4 or something, like before you start showing and, you know, like have the ability to possibly hurt the child that is living inside of you.
But when he said waddle around, like clearly, obviously he knows he's joking there.
You get to that point. Yeah.
He ventured into dangerous territory when he referred to the women as those people. But like, I don't think he meant it in that way. Like, those people type of way. I don't know.
I just think that Jack Wagon was like, just has a modicum of like seriousness to him. Like he's thinking like, by month women. 4, like then maybe they go on the IL.
The whole thing about Simmons I've realized over the years is that he says a lot of genuinely wacky stuff because he's just like spitballing, and it doesn't age well when it gets just clipped up and people think he's being serious about something. So he's spitballing there. That is a good podcast topic though. Yeah, like that. What's your cutoff age for your wife? If she were a professional basketball player, like at what point in her pregnancy would you say, no, that's it, honey, I really think we should just cut it here.
It's subjective when you start getting the pooch, you know.
Depends on what kind of a player you are, too. If you're somebody down, like, I don't need you banging around down underneath the boards. If you're a perimeter shooter or something, it's a later date.
Yeah. You know, stay on the perimeter and maybe you can expand to like month five, maybe get closer to month six before it's a real, you know, situation.
So Nico Harrison, GM of the Mavericks. Nico Harrison was much maligned for trading away one of the best players in the NBA. But hey, he brought in an injury-prone superstar to replace him. And at which point, the Mavericks, after not getting anything from the trade in the short term, had a 1.8% chance of getting the number one pick in the draft. They got that and drafted Cooper Flagg. And now Nico Harrison thinks that the fans are finally starting to see the vision.
Yeah, I think so. I think it will help. Most importantly, I think it just, you know, we're in win now mode and we have a really good team and Cooper adds to that. So I think the fans finally start to see the vision.
Finally start to see the vision. That's boy, I can't tell you, Mavericks fans, in your lonely lives where you're trying to cheer for your team to somehow actually just have a chance at winning a baseball division, or you've got Jerry Jones and whatever nonsense he's doing at any given time. But at least you can share in the vision of Nico Harrison and him just planning. If anything, you know what this does to me? This makes me feel like, okay, yeah, for him to even try to get up there and act like this was part of his vision, they fixed that draft lottery. What? How the hell are you even trying to pass that off as a vision of some sort?
You know, Nico doesn't even believe what's coming out of his mouth. Like, you know, I can't believe anything that he says. Like, there's no conviction. There's no passion when that guy talks. He feels very much to me like a guy, like, that this isn't real life. Like, this role of general manager in the NBA, he was miscast. Like, he should be, like, some stepdad, you know, very quiet, mild-mannered, you know, stepdad of, you know, like a very troubled teenage boy or something like that. Not a general manager of an NBA basketball team. He doesn't have that, you don't have the piss and vinegar that it takes to do that, especially when your organization literally forced you to trade one of the biggest superstars in the sport for an old guy with a bad back. There's nothing there of substance with Nico. I still have like my window of like when he's going to be fired. The over under, I'm still setting it like a year and a half.
I was watching the movie that was probably most famously snubbed in the Oscars, Reno 911 Miami, yesterday. Cause I was in the mood for just some trash television. So I watched Reno 911, the movie. There's a deputy mayor in there. Who's played by, I can't think of the name, goofy little comedian. But the deputy mayor has no business being the mayor. He's crying in moments of stress and what have you. And
that's Nico.
And yet everything all kind of worked out at the end. I don't want to give away any spoilers. So, yeah, that's Nico Harrison. He's a deputy mayor that's not ready for the job. He was only there because his daddy got him the job or something.
There you go.
The deputy mayor that just does not serve his role properly. The problem is, though, I would say, kind of in the same respects as the Colts, if Anthony Richardson were to ever stay healthy, it scares me a little bit. That's how I am with Cooper Flagg scares me a little bit. His health isn't an issue, but Anthony Davis's health and whether or not he can actually, can the Mavericks actually put together what looks really good on paper? I don't trust that they can.
I think it's Isai on YouTube. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Said it's Patton Oswalt. The character
Patton Oswalt, that's right.
He's the guy that was in King of Queens with Leah Remini and whatchamadoodle, the comedian. I forgot what
Kevin James.
Kevin James, yeah, thank you, Ben. Patton Oswalt's hilarious. Nico's a perfect character for him.
So yesterday, big trade in the NFL as Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith get traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. And the Dolphins, I don't know what the hell's going on with that organization right now. I know that Raheem Mostert, former running back for the Cowboys, chimed in afterwards and he said, hot take, be a Pro Bowler on the Dolphins, get treated like bleep. Happy for my guys though, go ball out. So, I celebrate the pettiness of Raheem Mostert. The advice I give to young people and football players is always never let your pettiness flag fly towards a former employer like that. Unless you're actually exposing some wrong or some injustice where, like you're saving lives. If you're doing it for a selfless reason. This is Raheem Mostert just flat out talking about the Dolphins as a trash organization. Man, I'll tell you what, those last couple years you're in the league, you don't know for sure who exactly, your former employer might be the only team that actually wants you. And yet I have to celebrate his pettiness and playing it out and pointing out that the Dolphins are a dumpster fire right now.
I saw that yesterday on Twitter. I fully co-sign that, but like in real life though, but in sports, like as a player now that is not of that organization anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, let it fly.
No, let it fly.
Like if those are your feelings, like let it fly. And here's why I say this. Okay. You never know what's going on. Like that's extra behind the scenes. Did you happen to see, like, in recent days, I've watched this, like, 10 times. I love it. Robert Horry talking about why he threw the towel at Danny Ainge back in the day when he was a Phoenix Sun. Have you seen this?
No, I didn't see it. No.
All right, so I'm going to nominate this one for sports pettiness, okay, on the fly, because I love it. Robert Horry threw the towel at Danny Ainge back in the day when he was a member of the Suns for, like, I don't know, what, 15 games before being traded to the Lakers? Because Danny Ainge, if you recall, in a playoff game against the Rockets, once rifled a ball about as fast as he could and hit Mario Elie in the face with a basketball. That, you know, brought on a brief little scuffle and a brawl between the Suns and the Rockets. So this is like years later, like maybe 2 years later, and Horry, according to him in his story, was like talked down to by Danny Ainge and was like, dude, you don't even play any defense. We've traded guys away, you know, that are better than you. You're going to come in here and, you know, do what you need to do. And Horry was like, this, you know, mofo right here, what is he talking about? So it came a point in time in the game where Danny Ainge was like, Horry had an awesome game going. And Ainge's like, sit your ass down. Horry just came over to the bench and threw the towel right in Ainge's face. Next day, Danny Ainge and the Phoenix Suns traded Horry to the Lakers, and he asked no questions. He just hung up the phone, got in a car on his way to the Lakers. That's when you let it fly, man. Even if it's years later, you know, for Robert Horry, you let your sports petty fly.
Yeah. Yeah. So with Mostert, too. But he, I don't know. Like, how old is he now? Anyway.
Mostert? He's got to be 30. Is he 30, 31?
You said 33, but that didn't seem right.
Oh, boy.
I can't possibly.
I don't know. Maybe.
Football that long. Yeah. I don't know. I 100%. I was petty once after I was released. I just looking back on it, there's always at the end of your career, there might only be like one or two teams that are actually interested in you. Who was it? I think it was Quentin Demps, who it seems like he left the Texans and came back three different times. Like that's a good guy that doesn't burn bridges when he's released. Whereas you look at Steven Nelson last year, and Steven Nelson might have gotten, he probably would have gotten a call from the Texans if he hadn't publicly lambasted the Texans a couple different times,
making
fun of the GM and the head coach.
Yeah, and he didn't end up getting a job anywhere, right, last year?
He ended up with the Chiefs.
Practice squad, though. He never played, did he?
I don't know if he played or not, but he got a job of some sort. But yeah, the Texans could have been. He could have stayed in town, would I would
have,
imagine.
Mighty
if
have
he
fallen.
Had been a little bit more. Yeah. The only thing I'm feeling petty about right now this week that I'm upset with is that Kyle Tucker is still keeping up a really good pace of play. He's still well above 900 in the OPS. He had in May, he had dipped a little bit where he was still playing well, but he, you know, wasn't on that freakish pace that he was on early on.
Yeah.
This weekend could have been perfect if he hadn't gotten four hits in the second game. So because he went 0-for on the first night, the third game I think he got one hit, but the four hits in the second game of the series didn't any pettiness I had for him. My pettiness was unrequited on the Kyle Tucker front.
I can't co-sign your pettiness for Kyle Tucker. I was very much one of those that gave him a standing O this weekend at the game when I was there. I told you.
No. I'm not being petty towards Kyle Tucker himself. It's more towards Cubs fans in the organization.
Okay.
It's that I need this trade to look as magnificent as possible. And the Cubs, It's not like they're definitively running away with anything, but they're very much in the World Series competition or conversation. So if if the Cubs win a World Series, then okay, they did exactly what they needed to do. In my ideal world, Cam Smith would be Rookie of the Year, and Kyle Tucker would fall off a cliff in the second half of the season, or more likely, be awful in the playoffs.
Be awful in the playoffs, yeah. I would rock with that one, because Kyle Tucker wasn't great in the playoffs as an Astro. Either maybe more on par than anything else. Similarly, I was trying to think, you know, like, what do I feel petty about? There was a report late last week out of Boston that Alex Bregman and his agent Scott Boras are trying to engage the Red Sox in conversation about a long-term contract extension. And for people that might have forgotten, Alex Bregman turned down the Astros offer of 6 years, $156 million this offseason, and ended up going with Boston for a one-plus-one-plus-one deal that's going to pay him $40 million per. I'm a little petty about that because that they're having these conversations, especially during a time in which Bregman has been hurt and hadn't played baseball for a month, in that he's not going to get a long-term deal worth $40 million, I don't think. I would be maybe petty about this situation if the Red Sox gave him a deal, Seth, that was even just in the neighborhood of what the Astros offered Alex Bregman.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about that, because I don't think Bregman would sign that deal. You know, he specifically did it, he specifically took the deal he did so that he would have the option to seek better than what he was seeing. And right now, the injury is notable, but, you know, baseball teams don't get chalk guys up for injuries as much as in other sports.
Yeah.
So I think that, or as much as in football, I think that I'll be really surprised if he signs for something similar to that. He would just say, no, I'm cool. I'm staying on this deal that I took when I was offered that before. So for the Red Sox to be talking extension with him, I'm guessing they're thinking something healthier and longer than that.
But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, the number, it took forever, right, for us to get numbers publicized, like the 6 years, 156 that the Astros offered to Bregman. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought there was a report that the Astros had upped the offer. We just didn't know what that specifically was. Could it have been like 6 years, $170 million? You sweeten the pot a little bit, you get closer to the $30 million AAV. If Alex Bregman signs a long-term deal with the Red Sox that's paying him $32.5 million per, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. I mean, it makes me feel a little bit better that Isak Paredes is an Astro and he's young and he's playing really good baseball and holding it down at third base. And that's about it. That's where I would draw the line.
Yeah, so if he got 30 years, $180 million, as opposed to 6 years, if he got $30 million per year
on a
$180 million deal compared to the $156 million that the Astros offered, does it feel like he's just purely just all about the money and it's not that much money?
It would feel like he was going to go get the money grab year one. It's going to pay me $14 million extra than what the Astros were offering me. I'm going to take that. I get to play in Fenway, beef my numbers up, get a long-term extension out of that. I don't know. It would hit me a little sideways, I think. But, you know, Isak Paredes makes me feel a little bit better. And the fact that the Astros are one of the best teams in baseball without him. I like that. Coming up next, talking about the Astros, it's next man up again with Jeremy Pena headed to the IL. Who's it going to be? We'll discuss next.